Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Gold Diggers Podcast. We've been gone for a couple of weeks, technical difficulties, but we're back with a bang. A lot of games this week and this weekend. You're joined by me, Philippa Acco on X. And here's my lovely panel.
I'm Moya, at Moya's Laboratory on X.
What you don't know is Moya came on a bike today, so...
Why did you do that?
I'm Tima at teams underscore GH.
I come on a bike. Cycle. Every time I come here. Well, big up the planet. Some people care and some people don't.
Also, it's good for your cardiovascular health. We're getting on, babes.
Tima at teams underscore GH on X and on TikTok.
Lauren at Lauren Coys on all platforms.
Awesome. So we are here today. It's a small, intimate cast today.
Hold my hand, Moya.
You see how I had to do most of the work there? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't know if this energy is going to stay. So I really enjoyed that. If for the people who were listening and not watching, Moya and Tima just held each other's hands in a moment of unity as we are about to discuss the North London Derby. Now, unfortunately, we couldn't get an Arsenal supporter onto the panel today. Very, very busy ladies. And I think that's at Lauren's benefit. So Lauren, seeing as you are the unfortunate loser of the tie, please let me know how it went.
First half. God. I don't know. We got to half time. I was in disbelief. I was like, what the hell has happened? Set pieces, Achilles heel. Like, I've lost count of how many set piece goals we have now conceded. And to have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game is unforgivable, knowing that Arsenal are the best team in the league. Attacking set pieces.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See? You're jumping too much, man.
Let me finish my sentence. So I think to train for 2 weeks for a game and you're still defending with such naivety, it just wasn't good enough. And then you're just asking for a lot to do. The second goal... It's a tough one. Like, I'm not part of the club statement brigade, but like the foul on Kulusevski outside of the box that gets given for clipping his heels, they then counter. And last week, obviously, like, the episode didn't come out, but I said without Destiny we were finished, and you could see why, because Ben Davies and Saka is a mismatch. But at the same time, like, the whole world, apart from Ben Davies, knew that Saka would come back on his left foot.
Yeah.
And if you don't, like, come on, man. Like, he didn't even have to do any jimmy. He just literally came back on his left foot and finished. And then the third goal, another corner. Like, it just, yeah. So it is annoying because it didn't feel like we were playing that particularly badly in the first half, but we just conceded three goals Three preventable goals. And yeah, man, and
do you know what?
I don't even know what can I say? I'm sat there like, nah, you lot are embarrassing me. And yeah, we rallied in second half.
It's just how Arsenal are this season. Like, many of us have been beneficiaries of that sort of game where you're not playing particularly badly, but Arsenal are just bossing it. So, like, you can't disagree. But Moya, I'd like your opinion, because obviously North London derby, a tale as old as time. And
best derby in the league.
Exactly. And we've often said how when you're
at
one stadium, the home team usually prevails and stuff like this. But I think it's really interesting to look at the difference, because I think Arsenal were ahead of Spurs for so long, and then the tables started to turn a little bit. Do you think that gap between Arsenal and Spurs is widening, or, you know?
It's tricky, yeah, because obviously I think it's like a 20-point difference right now. So, like, points-wise, it looks crazy, innit?
Are you sure?
I don't think it's that wide, Maya. Please.
No, it's 20. It's 20, bro.
It's not 60.
You're on 60, no? And they're on 80.
Are they on 80 points already?
Yeah, we got two games in hand, though.
Who cares? We're talking about points now, bro.
It's kind of.
I swear, it's like 20 points.
Blood clot.
You've got two games in hand, so they've already played two extra games.
Like, boy, points on the door, but
points on the board. Always points on the board, man. Like, as of right now, they are 20 points behind.
Yeah, but that's because Arsenal have played two extra games.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so if they win most, the two it's games, it's going to be 14.
At a minimum, it's going to be 14. So that's still a lot.
Is it that a lot? Is it a lot?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Considering Arsenal finished second and they finished... Did you finish eighth last season?
Yeah.
Eighth. See, yeah. So I think...
In the grand scheme of things, it isn't, yeah. But the reason why I think that Arsenal will go into games against Spurs confident because of how Ange plays football. Like, Ange sets his team up to play football. It's the same reason why, even at the time that Chelsea weren't playing well, Chelsea, I know obviously the red cards changed stuff and XYZ, yeah, but like the actual playing style of Tottenham means that Tottenham are going to get a lot of chances and the opposition team are going to get a lot of chances. That's just how it is. And I think that because of that, Arsenal know that even if they take a couple of their chances, they'll be fine. I think when I looked here at halftime, they showed the stats, or just before halftime, it was 3-0. And Arsenal had two shots on target.
Like, genuinely, I agree with you in terms of that, like, we do play a really open style. Mm. I actually thought in open play, we actually defended quite well in the first half. Like, Arsenal didn't have that many chances.
In today's game, in the first half, Tottenham were arguably the better team, yeah? They had the better chances. And even Arsenal fans themselves were saying, oh, we caught life constantly, yeah? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that, I think, shows the growth in Arsenal this season. It's like, because that playing well stuff, obviously, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't result in goals...
Yeah, we're in the business.
And it doesn't result in... Like, right now, you're just trying to score. You're just trying to score and win. And they didn't need to play... Like, it's funny because I actually think Tottenham were better in the first half than the second. I don't actually think Tottenham were that good in the second half, but they got their goals in the second half. Mm. Arsenal were arguably better in the second than the first, and they didn't score any goals. So it's tricky. It's tricky. I do think, though, that like the derby is good for the neutral because we know there's going to be goals.
Mm.
And you lot, not that you're not playing, you were kind of playing today to stop Arsenal from winning the league. That seems to be the mindset, even though you are playing for top four. But like
the top four isn't a trophy. Like, I'm not in that camp anymore, the mindset seemed to be that
we have to stop this. We have the pride of Tottenham, but we also are trying to stop Arsenal winning the league.
But like for me, like regardless of the like genuinely because of the way the gap has been, like growing up North London derby, man, please, we're embarrassed every time. But genuinely, as a Spurs fan, regardless of the context of the North London derby now, whether it's to relegate Arsenal or to stop them from winning the league, there's a certain, you have to turn up regardless. Mm. And I know there was obviously there's a narrative like, you know, Arsenal could win this league. But at the same time, if City win all of their games, and I know we're one of the teams they have to play, this result wouldn't have mattered anyway. But, like, I feel like a lot of the narrative in the media is kind of like, we were playing this game just to stop them from winning the league. No, you have to turn up for a North London derby regardless.
It's the pride of
like, yeah, regardless. Even last season, like, I was embarrassed last season.
Do you think you've got enough players, though, that can... that understand that?
This is my thing, because I feel like the spirit of a lot of derbies is lost, because the more international players you get and the more players you get who aren't from the area as well, they don't get it. And I always feel this watching Spurs, because unfortunately for you, funny for us, you've got three teams in London who see your game, your fixture, as a must win or a must not lose, actually. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, do you think your players gauge that?
We have two vice captains.
Matters.
Romero played this game
like he got it,
like he understood, wasn't fazed. Even at we were 3-0 down, he played that game like it was the North London derby and he got it. What was James Maddison doing today?
He had a stinker, but he's been, let me not lie, and you know me, I love Maddison. Since he's come back from injury.
But for me, I can no longer, sorry, you got injured in November, you were injured for 3 months, it is May next week. This returning from injury form business,
yeah,
I don't want to hear it anymore.
It's been too long post injury for him to still be playing. You know, like,
you're stinking up the place, man. Hold the bench now.
You give them grace for a month. You could probably get grace of a month to be like, he's still, obviously he's had a layoff, he's trying to play himself back into form, XYZ. Yeah, but after a while it's like, bro, what's going on?
Like you're actually just not playing well. And like the change, like when he got hooked and Kulusevski moved into the middle, we were actually creating and our football was flowing a lot better than it was. So I was so disappointed in James Maddison today, because I was thinking, this is a match where you can show yourself, because if there's anybody on that pitch, Maddison understands the culture of English football. He understands this derby. And it didn't look like in his body language, like he was really that bothered.
He seemed to understand it though. What's interesting there is that, like, I feel like in the reverse fixture, he got it.
No, because it was in his first 10 games before he got injured.
It's funny, yeah, because obviously the narrative surrounding Maddison as a whole, yeah, is that every year between March and May, he just turns to piss, basically. And no, genuinely,
but it's fair.
That's the narrative.
I saw a tweet. It was unplayable, unavailable, and then unnoticeable. That's how to describe the three stages of the season.
That's the narrative that has been following him.
I'm so sorry. Team is... faces this entire segment.
If
I was a professional footballer and I had that tweet, I'd retire.
Yeah, mate. Because that was the argument that Leicester fans still feel a way towards him. Yeah, because they feel like he didn't try in those last couple months. Mm. Yeah, when if he did, they could still be in the I know they're coming back up, and they probably don't. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's fine. But
point
like
seduction, though.
Yeah, but at the time they were thinking, we actually could have stayed up had you been a serious guy. And remember, there was a run in with Leicester that he was scoring. Remember, there was a point scoring. Then he had an injury, and then he came back in like the January, Feb time, and he turned to nonsense. Like after that,
he disappeared, except for like the final game of the season when we played them and decided to be like,
yeah, because it was over by then.
I can't lie, we're lucky that Shai's not here, because she'll go back to the episode where we were doing the team of the season so far.
At the time.
Listen,
was one of the best midfielders in the league.
He was one of the best players in the in terms of, like, if you were saying, if we were to end the season right now, obviously it was early, but like, if we were to end the season right now, who would be the top five players in the league? He would have been one of them. He was that good in the beginning of the season.
Do you think his form takes him to the Euros?
The way he's playing now...
No.
And you know what it is? He doesn't have credit in the bank with England.
Mm.
And that is a saving grace for a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
Someone like Rashford, for example, is not playing well at all right now, but he has credit in the bank for England. Jordan Henderson, we don't even know what he's been doing, by the way, for the last 9 months. We don't know what this man has been doing, but he has credit in the bank for England. So...
let me not, because Jamie O'Hara pissed me off today. He said nonsense about Rashford and Bowen, and
What did he say? He said that Rashford, without a doubt, should be going ahead of Bowen.
Ahead, basically.
Yeah.
And this is what, where is the other man who likes to tweet about certain pundits? Where is he now?
Carragher, who?
No, we don't mention him on this show, but where is he now? when you see these pundits talk about nonsense?
Mouth his name for me for the last week.
I'll tell you after.
She'll tell you after. But then, so Tima, like, obviously this was a great hate watch for you in terms of...
Oh! Pushing back to the far east depths of my mind. I actually forgot he was a real person.
Oh, yeah, he's been blocked on everything. His name is muted. I don't even know who that guy is. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. But yeah, Tima, this was a great hate watch for you. So would have been... Well, I mean, it's two teams.
She don't know what she wants, bro.
No, I don't want Arsenal to win the league. I didn't think Tottenham were going to turn up today, and they didn't. They did and they didn't. I didn't think that they were going to... After seeing the two teams, I knew that they weren't going to win the game.
But a draw would have been nice for you.
It would have been amazing. I celebrated the Van de Ven goal as if it was a Chelsea goal.
It's and a then... shame, man. His batty was bigger than Gabriel's. And the way they drew those lines.
Yeah. It's peak. Man. Because it was tight. That glute training, they don't always help, man. Yeah.
But see, I just feel like these VAR lines are just not in the spirit of the game. I thought my by a bum cheek, just because man's doing his RDL is more than the other one.
By the way, I think...
Because in that situation, you cannot say that a player, by having a sliver of a bigger bum, has a better advantage to get into that ball.
I think that Mark Oliver was atrocious today. I thought it was really bad.
When do you not think he is, though?
That's a good question.
He's meant to be one of our best.
And that's appalling.
And he couldn't even see... Do you see how close he... As in, this distance between us is how close he was to Declan Rice kicking through Ben Davies.
It makes no sense here because he saw it, though. Because my thing is, he did see it the first time.
Mm.
He didn't need VAR. He knows it, what happened, yeah? But he just didn't think it was that deep. Then when VAR said, whoa, that's kind of deep, then he was like, oh, yeah, you're right, it's deep, penalty.
But I think even the Havertz goal, I question whether that should have stood. Because he pushes, I think he pushes Van de Ven. I think that's the...
Yeah, he does.
And you have Ben White also impeding the goalkeeper. So
this happens to us every game, by the way, now.
Because they know that, like, I saw you tweet before the game and you were like, something about set... You said something about set
because but, it's like, the same. Everyone knows. Everybody is preparing to play against us. But my problem is that...
So I know we're going to come on and talk about Chelsea, and it's not me centering them, but you have the goal, you have the goal.
It's the same thing. It's the same.
I personally don't think Havertz's push is the same. So how is one goal standing and the other goal isn't? I just think the standard of refereeing in this country is atrocious. And I think that as much as it hurts, because I can't stand both these teams, but at least one team is actually from North London. So, like...
Run it again!
The bar is in Hades, man.
At least one team's in, you know, from North London. They talk about the North London derby. No, this is North versus South of the river. So anyway, what was I even saying?
Like, say they haven't been in the Angel for God knows how long.
And they had people standing on the roof waving Spurs flags. Like, come on, man. Like,
I don't know why they moved the trumpet up there, man. He usually just is in the South Stand. I don't know why they moved him up there.
I think the refereeing performance was terrible.
In the rain as well. I hope he doesn't get a cold.
I switched off after 3-0. They scored two goals, apparently.
Then she tried to sliver back after the two
No,
goals
I didn't. I actually back. Didn't. So I went and watched Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Oh, Zania. She said, when the second goal went in...
Yeah, she's like, I'm awake.
She said, let me put it back on, bro.
No. I think Spurs were very unlucky. I think those decisions can go the other way. I think it's going to be interesting. I think the way that Arsenal are, the way that they... celebrated. I know that apparently I can't talk about the way they celebrate the huddles after each goal.
I'm okay with that for now.
If they don't win, if they don't lift the league,
but it's not in their hands though. Because all they it can
was.
Do,
yeah, but it was.
It, yeah, but it was. It was before the Villa game, but it isn't now. So all they can do is
do huddles.
Because my thing is, if they don't celebrate in the lead up to it,
they're gonna miss. They're literally missing.
What are they
missing?
Like, for example, let's say we don't know what happens, and Villa and City somehow drop points in the last day of the season. That means Arsenal haven't been able to enjoy. If they don't enjoy it every week, it means they've missed out on all those enjoyments. enjoyment periods and only get to enjoy at the end.
Yes.
You should, no, you should...
Because that's when you win the bloody trophy.
No, no, no. It's like, yeah, it's like... No, no. Let me give you another example. It's like if I'm in a relationship with you.
Don't,
yeah?
No, no,
wait,
no, no,
wait.
Hey, about you and Jim Radcliffe, please.
No. If I'm in a relationship with you, yeah, it's like me only being happy, yeah, once we get married.
No, it's not. You have to stop and smell the roses at each moment. I remember everyone keeps on going and act like you've been here before. They haven't. Okay,
yeah, so these men actually haven't.
So let them enjoy
like,
it.
Even you're on your own on this one. Like, yeah, if it's the other way around, I'm
because even Liverpool, City, even Liverpool, yeah, like, Liverpool did not do this.
City when they won their first Aguero league, yeah. Every once they like caught United started flopping and they started City were enjoying. You have to enjoy it at the time.
Screw them.
You're a hater. That's what it is, though. Yeah, you're, I don't
care. I'm Arsenal's biggest hater.
Fair.
So speaking of being Arsenal's biggest hater, how did you feel about the midweek game? What went wrong?
I believe I put in the chat that Chelsea were going to get smashed.
Okay.
Did I not say that?
I'm not saying you did, but the listeners would like to hear.
So this is a nice segue. I was on BBC 5 Live Breakfast Radio. Ooh. In the morning.
Shameless plug.
And I came on, and the narrative was about the softness of the team, the soft centre. There's a lack of accountability from Poch. That team that he selected was absolutely atrocious. That back line is one. Honestly, it's one of the worst. 11s.
Is that the one that Badiashile started?
Like, you can't start a back line against a team that is going for the title with Cucurella, Badiashile, De Sassi, and Gilchrist.
Yeah, I wasn't entirely sure why Gilchrist started.
And do you know what makes it worse? The week before, I know we lost to City, but our defensive display was impeccable.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
I don't care. Like, this is the game. Like, you start... He was saying that Chalobah and Silva couldn't start again, but they both came onto the pitch. Why, please?
But the thing...
When we're 5-0 down, why?
Do you know what? I think it's really difficult because I was very confused as to why Thiago Silva wasn't starting that game. Because in my head, I was thinking, you need leadership. You're going to the Emirates. You actually need leadership. Mm-hmm. But then seeing him come off injured this weekend, you can actually understand why he wasn't able to start that game in midweek.
No, I
like,
can't. No.
Like, if you physically cannot get yourself through that game and you're risking injury... Mm-hmm. Obviously hindsight is a wonderful thing, but you can understand now why he made the rotation.
But so I think
what about Trevor though?
Yeah, Chalobah. You've got to start either.
Yeah, yeah. Like I looked at the back line and I thought, Lord above, they're gonna get cooked.
But also Nicholas Jackson again, like he missed chances.
Misses chances. Yeah,
why do you give him such a blind man?
You take him then.
Why?
I actually see the vision because. I don't know if it's because, I've been watching Hoyland this season, and genuinely, Nicholas Jackson has everything that Hoyland needs.
Take him.
But you know what they both don't have? The finishing.
Yeah. No, the funny thing is, I think Hoyland is a better finisher than... Hoyland has one of the best conversion rates in the league, by
it's
the way.
It's not hard to be better finishing than Jackson.
No, but
it's
do you know what I mean? Like, in general, Hoyland is in, like, the top...
10 Premier League
I don't
goals.
Know what it is, yeah, but in terms of strikers, he's one that has one of the best conversion rates in the league. The problem with him is that he doesn't shoot enough, and he doesn't get chances. That's a separate problem.
Jackson doesn't shoot either.
Jackson is creating a lot of... You have to think, Jackson is missing chances, yes. But Jackson
he's getting into those spaces
creates a lot of
his
chances.
Decision-making.
No, yeah, he's an awful finisher. He is.
But that's what I cannot understand now. In the world that we're living in, when we are discussing number nines, how someone being a poor finisher... How can we talk around the primary part of their job that they cannot do? Like,
Jackson needs a team that will go back to... He needs when the Premier League was in 4-4-2 era. 4-4-2 era. I'm telling you now.
I was literally going to say he needs to jump
He needs another person.
I think he'd actually thrive.
Because he's hold-up play is... His link-up play is so good, yeah? He creates chances for himself. He can cross. Like, he actually gives defenders a even in that Arsenal game, by the way, sorry, he was given, he's probably the first person in ages that I've seen give Saliba and Gabriel a torrid time. Like, they were actually struggling.
Against Bayern Munich, I've seen them.
Okay, but look, this look, but look at the calibre of, that's what I'm saying.
That,
outside
that was
of
a real striker they were playing against.
Do you get what I mean? Like,
your shit.
If we're saying other than Bayern Munich, we haven't really seen it yet, but that's my point. He is a problem. Like,
I don't know. He's not for me.
Don't get it twisted. But the finishing is a big problem.
But I genuinely think as a defender, like before, I feel like if you're Van Dijk or whoever, I genuinely think as a defender, you think, oh, he may be giving me a problem, but if he gets through, don't worry, because he'll miss. And I think he's the lesser of two evils, for example, if he's coming forwards.
Mm.
Because you look and think, well, he's going to miss anyway.
Yeah.
This is crap.
Big problem.
For me, I've said in the summer, the problem Chelsea have is that they needed a spine. We've kind of sorted out the midfield. Who knows what Lavia is going to come back with next season.
Mm-hmm.
But we still need a goalkeeper.
Petrovic has gone. I don't know what he's doing right now.
No, but
he started. No, but when he first came in, when
Sanchez is crap.
When Sanchez got injured,
the bar is in
Petrovic
hell.
Petrovic started looking deep to the point that people
wanted
like,
to play, and now he knows that the backup is even worse than him.
Yeah. So wasn't convinced by the goalkeeping signings. The Sassy, I'd never heard of him, so I gave him one game against Liverpool. I saw him defend wide space and I said no thank you. Then I saw Nicholas Jackson
no thank you.
Then I saw Nicholas Jackson play in the summer. Chelsea fans are telling me this is baby Drogba.
He looked good. I'm not gonna lie, in pre-season he looked peak,
and I knew that it wasn't gonna work within the actual season, because pre-season is where you come and you get your fitness up, and everyone just gets excited about this person.
Football heritage, though, isn't it? You get excited in pre-season. That's where not me, that's man. Football like, heritage woo, from. Not me. We beat the San Marino Miners.
Yeah. Woo! I was gonna say some of us don't get excited.
I don't get excited.
We all get excited, fam.
So when you don't have like a proper spine, a quality spine,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get the results that Chelsea do, up and down, up and down, up and down. And then you're going to get your ass seen to when you don't have a manager who coaches you properly. Mm-hmm. They do not look like they spend any time on the... They look like Poch goes out on the training, they have a little kickabout, and then on Saturday, Sunday, he goes out, selects 11. They don't look like they ever played together.
It's not cohesive.
It's not cohesive. And then you get a random good result, and then everyone's like, oh, see, you've got to give this
wait
guy a turn.
Next year. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like we've got our own version of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Get him gone. Get him out of my club. And get those...
Justice for Ole. Joke.
Get those who spent 2 months recruiting a manager also gone. So the Win Stanleys, Lawrence Stewart, you can fuck off and you can take your barbecue man and you can have your barbecue somewhere on the beach, damn, in the corner, away from Cobham, because all three of you are an absolute disgrace.
Well, something that I heard earlier today was that Poch put a barbecue at the Spurs training ground.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how he plays against Spurs on Thursday. So let's have a little preview of the Chelsea Spurs match that's going to take place on Thursday. I'm going to ask Moyo. I'm not going to ask you to, because obviously you're well invested and you're going to jump in a minute anyway. But Moyo, how do you see that game like unfolding?
It's at Stamford Bridge, by the way.
It's
considering
Bridge.
Our record.
It's just one winning context.
Yeah, legit. Like the form doesn't apply.
But I don't think that
matters. It's an interesting one, because normally, when Son has had a stinker past the past few games, he like corrects it I don't think Son played well today. Yeah. Mm. And I think he has to make amends against Chelsea. Madison also, but Madison, I don't know. I think he's just caught time on this season. In terms of like the expectation to play well, I think he's done. Yeah. For this season. Obviously next season he's gonna be good. It's a tough one, yeah, because it's gonna come down to the midfield. And I don't think midfield for Spurs know what their plan is. But like today when we saw the midfield, Højbjerg and this, I was thinking, what's going on? Like, and I get it to some extent, because Bissouma stays getting excited. I think Bissouma's biggest problem is excitement in games that are high stakes. And sometimes, you
even
know,
low stakes.
Yeah. You,
he just sometimes he forgets that when you're playing in the six, you also have to defend.
Yeah, but you know as well, yeah, in games that are like derby centered, he'll start trying to give it to the fans by like going in for a tackle. That's how he gets nabbed. Do you know what I mean?
His red cards this season have come against Luton and Nottingham Forest.
Well, he's just down out here then. So I think Spurs will go into it confident because obviously Chelsea, you know, there is
which Spurs, the fans or the players?
The players, okay. Yeah. But
I just wanted to clarify.
At the same time, yes, Chelsea have done okay against the big teams.
Like, you just don't know what Chelsea are going to turn up.
That's the thing.
This is the problem with this season.
No, we don't know what Spurs will turn up either.
No, but I think
to some extent, you know what Spurs will turn up. Like, you're closer to knowing the extent of Spurs than Chelsea.
Let's put it this way. You're starting 11, give or take a couple of people, depending on who's injured and stuff. You sort of know it. They're starting 11. I don't think...
We've got 12 injuries as well.
Chelsea drew to Sheffield United, just 2 weeks ago.
Hey, not shaming that. Some of us do.
Sheffield United were down to 10 players in the first half.
You're talking about the Burnley game.
Sorry, I'm talking about Burnley.
We drew against both of them.
Didn't United just draw against Burnley?
Yeah, but we're getting there.
United are done. Everyone's
killing to draws against Burnley.
They drew against Sheffield United. Sheffield United have conceded 97 goals this season in the league. 97. So Chelsea don't mind giving another team a game, like in terms of like, oh, this is how we're rolling. Cool, like let's go. But Chelsea also, when they decide to be serious, can be a good team. Like Chelsea have shown glimpses of being good many times this season. The problem is the consistency level.
Those times that we've been good is because Cole Palmer still has the spirit of Pep Guardiola in him. Mm. That's the only thing that is keeping us from relegation.
I actually don't think
Cole Palmer wasn't Chelsea's best player yesterday.
It was
Conor Gallagher that dragged Chelsea back into that game.
I think Caicedo was their best player.
It was your midfield.
Not Conor Gallagher. Caicedo.
No, look, listen.
Conor Gallagher had a good game.
He did have a good game.
Some respect on Conor Gallagher is such a Spurs signing, by the way.
Yes.
Like, I'll be real.
Agreed.
Like, I actually do not think he's a bad player, by the way.
He's okay. He's all right.
I think he's overhyped, but I think he's...
I don't think anybody hypes him, but I do think
they
he's...
hype him still.
Oh, I swear. Not in my point of view.
Even the fact some that he's chewing for England, because they're not... He's not under debate right now. They're saying he's going. So the fact that he's almost like a guaranteed tells you... There's stocks in him.
I think he's a good player to have. I think, especially when you think about homegrown quotas and stuff like that. I think he's very...
I think that would be the only reason why we sign him.
The price that Chelsea was saying was like 50 mil.
At least we're not paying that for someone that has a year
but
left.
But if you bought... You're saying that United did some nonsense like that.
Yeah, but Daniel Levy
with a checkbook, babe.
How much did you not spend on Brennan Johnson? Because let's even speak about him first of all.
No, but that was 45. Brennan was an investment for the future.
Brennan Johnson was not worth at the time you bought. Obviously, it's an investment. No, I get the investment level because it's the same as like when Newcastle bought Anthony Gordon.
But the thing is, we were linked with Chelsea beforehand.
The
fee is also linked to the length of time on the contract. We were buying Brennan out of a long-term contract and there was FFP issues. The same reason Daniel Levy did not make that purchase last summer for Conor Gallagher was because he didn't think he was worth that money. I think, unless that price drops, we will not buy him.
I think 35 million would be a fair...
I personally don't want to buy a player who has spent their whole life dreaming about hearing, we hate Tottenham, Chelsea. Mm. I don't want that player. Personally, there's a reason why our clubs particularly don't really do business.
This is a new era with absolute madmen in charge of Chelsea.
I do think the matchup is going to be good, though, the Tottenham Chelsea game, because if it's anything to go by, Chelsea games against the Big Six have all been good this season. Like in terms of for the neutral
there when we play Chelsea, man.
You're both playing for something.
Did you not see the reverse fixture? We were down to 9 players. How much injuries did we pick up in one game?
Did you not see us against Arsenal?
Yeah, but Arsenal are actually a top side.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
like that's the truth. Like
they're okay,
but you're both fighting for something. So you're still fighting for top four. and you're still fighting. You're in the fight for Europe, so
you are the confidence.
You're laughing. You are no, but you're laughing. But the fact of the matter is, if you draw, hey, at least draw your game in hand. You beat, like, you go above us in the league, and then there's what, 3-4 games left?
For them. Listen, we're not getting Europe.
You can get Conference League.
You will get Conference League. And the thing is, you'll throw it away as well. I know you will.
No, thank you.
You get Conference League. It's just a case of, do you want Conference League?
No, they don't want it.
They might need it for the FFP, though, to be fair.
No, we can't. I think, do you know FFP? Apparently, Chelsea are cool.
No, apparently, you're not still. Apparently, you're going to get bagged before City get bagged. They're saying that they said, because the order that they were saying in terms of the reports here was that Everton were going to get bagged, then Forest, then Chelsea, then City.
And was that already, before we said sold a hotel to ourselves?
No, this is recent. Even, as of 3 months ago, they were still saying Chelsea's next.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Chelsea...
Yeah, but that hotel was sold in the previous financial year. They're talking about this financial year.
No,
when we finish at the end.
It is. It's this financial year.
I thought they said they sold the hotel sale went through for the June, as in
not last year, this year.
You're sure, yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right, when Chelsea get bagged, just bring up this episode again.
If Chelsea get bagged, so what? Listen.
My man says, so what? When you end up playing Accrington Stanley in
Leeds.
Good.
And I hope they sell us to someone else. Good. I want these motherfuckers gone.
A man is talking about when we get bagged and sell. They're not selling. Once you get bagged, the stocks have dropped. They're not selling at that point.
They're going to have to sell.
Because it's a bad financial situation for whoever, if they were to try and buy this club, because you've got these monster contracts with these huge investments.
We have to speak on Mudryk before we even move on for this thing, yeah? Mudryk's confidence. I actually feel bad for him because his confidence is in the pits of hell.
He's not getting coached.
Yeah, but my thing is, he's not even helping himself.
He's not even doing the actual basics of what makes a professional footballer.
I used to make those bullshit excuses as well, about this. And obviously, coaching is at the forefront. So you're capped. So if the coaching is not good, the player, regardless of who they are, is capped at what they can do, But his level right now is not even his base level. So it's not... him to be at his best level is not about coaching.
But it's unfortunate last week's episode didn't come out because I talked about the fact that at Chelsea, it doesn't look like he has any friends. Like, every time I see this guy, he's by himself. And, like, he's not surrounded. Like,
he probably looks...
You know what I mean?
Like, Arsenal when
he's thinking...
My bottom
lip is going, I'm so sorry. I'm so sad.
He just doesn't look like he fits in. Like, if you look at the Chelsea squad, I can tell you who goes, like, who's friends with who.
Yeah, you see, Carney and Nonny always together.
Always together with Sterling sometimes. This guy does not... I honestly do not think he has that many friends.
Do you think it's like a language barrier?
I think that he's come from a very, very difficult situation in terms of the war.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of wanting to go to Arsenal, ending up at Chelsea.
To go to Arsenal and being vocal in wanting to go to Arsenal as well, which is...
But then he's also... a terrible piece of business from Chelsea to go and spend all that money to go back to someone they didn't want to come.
But then also he's been coached by three managers... And probably three of the worst managers Chelsea have ever hired in this football club.
Who's the three? Potter,
Lampard, and Poch.
Oh, Lamps! I forgot about him.
So you see what I mean? They're three of the worst, and Lampard is definitely bottom of that list, despite what Chelsea fans say. He's definitely bottom. One of the worst managers.
He's not a good manager. So.
And then the other two are just fighting for the bars in hell. So I understand it. He's definitely not in terms of what he's displayed this season is not great, but I see a guy who's got has no confidence at all, at all.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't have confidence.
I've also seen glimpses.
No, I agree.
Of something.
So sometimes he does stuff, and you're like, "There's a player there. There's a player there for sure." And I agree with what you're saying, Timo, because I think the setup at Arsenal, even outside of them just being a better team right now. I'm putting them right now for you because I know you're not trying to hear that. But right now, better coached. But also, in terms of the people there, he would have had Zinchenko, who speaks the language. Like, the actual setup in general was an easier one in terms of adaptation for him.
Well, you see...
But that's a setup also that, I think it's really difficult to, a lot of the time we'll compare teams who are in different phases of their project.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think that's a setup that Arteta has been able to. He's hasn't he been there for yeah, like yeah. 5 or 6 years now? Yeah. Like he's been able to. Like he has. He's created his own environment and his own setup. Like the same way. Like when like you asked a question about Spurs and Arsenal, where the gap is. Like it's very different. Like. And just had literally not even a full season yet. Like it takes managers time, especially if they're then having to coach players who they didn't ask them. They were there before. They fit various different systems. Everything's a little bit all over the place. There are loads of moving parts. That's not easy for any manager, especially then if you have a profile as well of young players who are coming from here, there, everywhere around the globe, struggling to settle into the country. Maybe they don't have no friends. It's not an easy situation to navigate.
No, and we say this all the time, like it goes beyond your manager as well. It's just the pastoral care of the club itself. Do you have long-standing people who have been around for a while who really embed you into the club?
Like, they've got rid of everybody.
And that's what I'm saying. I completely agree, because like when I think about my club, it's Mark Noble when he was in the dressing room, and now he's moved upstairs into an office. He's still there. He used to find people places to live and stuff like that, going above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And
do you not have a family liaison officer?
We do have a family liaison
officer. It's a bit more personable when
it's,
like,
it's one of the players. It's like it's the captain.
Bruno was saying that when he first came to the club, Pogba was like, gave him like a dossier basically and was like, choose off top five in here, and we'll go and visit the houses, and then we'll just like between me and you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's good when you have people, and this is what I
after.
But I always,
you see, she's but, trying to draw man out, but like,
it can't be done. It can't be done. But this is why I always say, like, I don't know, football's changing, and obviously the money is fantastic, and what we're seeing on the pitch is amazing, but you really do miss that community thing.
Yeah, I do. Honestly, Mudryk is someone that I really worry about. I know I joke and stuff, but I really do worry about him, because I feel like mentally, I feel like there is some fragility. Like he's quite fragile. Yeah, yeah. He's quite fragile there, because you compare him. It's hard not to compare him to Nonny, and I have my issues with Nonny, but Nonny is showing
much more, and he seems mad confident. Like even when he's coming off the bench, he's thinking,
I'm going to change this game.
From when he's demanding penalties, their confidence levels are in two different places now.
But one thing I will say about, and I know like your feelings on Poch, out of the managers out there with that actual man management and empathy element, and I know you're going to roll your eyes.
I've already rolled my eyes.
Like, Poch is one of the better ones at doing that, at taking players in. Like when you look at, like, for example, what he did with Dele Alli, like he has that ability to connect with players, young players in the squad, and help them feel settled. Like there's been a lot of talk over the last week of a lot of reports saying that the Chelsea squad, for example, don't want Poch to be sacked.
Yeah.
Like, so I think,
and that's a sign that he should be sacked, in my opinion.
I hear it. It is interesting because, like, same with United, by the way. Like, Luke Shaw was liking tweets.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
saying, can't believe you're blaming a guy when most people are injured. Shut up. All of you,
is
shut
he
up.
Fit?
No, he's injured. That's what he's saying. He's saying that he's liking tweets saying, you're shouting sack ETH when he's literally had to spend most of the season with players injured.
But he like scrambled egg, doesn't he?
What's wrong with this girl?
So, speaking of scrambled egg, it's time to go on to Ten Hag's Mighty Reds. And Moyo, it's always lovely to see you on the men's edition of this podcast because I feel like we're always going to get like a nice soundbite. So, you've had a couple of games this week.
Mm-hmm.
Sheffield United midweek?
Yeah, Sheffield United midweek.
Well, easy dispatch, 4-2 game.
And easy. We went down twice, bro. Yeah. We were behind twice.
If you don't realise by now that I'm never being serious, then I don't know.
Who scored the two goals for Sheffield United?
Hammer.
And who's the other one?
Berrison Brenton Diaz.
Oh, Berrison Diaz. Oh, no, it wasn't Hammer. Oh, it was it was McAtee, wasn't it?
Yeah, McAtee. Yeah. Yeah,
two players I forgot even existed.
No, you shouldn't be Berrison forgetting Diaz.
No, because he's good at it.
Big up Berrison, man.
Well, yeah. Berrison Diaz, I mean, I even thought it was time, but when he was at Blackburn, I really thought that he was going to go places, and then he went abroad and clocked that his fake Spanish wasn't carrying
on. When did he go?
He went to Villarreal.
He went to Villarreal.
Yeah. Is he on loan at Sheffield, or did they? Or was it permanent?
I think it's on loan.
It's loan. It's
good,
a loan.
Because he'll be going back there. to Sheffield. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's too good to play the championship.
Moment of silence.
That's why he left Blackburn.
Yeah.
That's why he left Blackburn.
And it's peak because you know you can't even get in his national team. Because he's Chilean, isn't it? Yeah. And the Chile manager says he can come back when he learns Spanish.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what you get for begging your mum's team. Your mum had no link to her Chilean side until you realised, I can do this because I'm a bagsman.
Yeah.
But, like, at least come do your Duolingo.
Up that Duolingo for
it. Because otherwise, how can you communicate with the players on the on the pitch? Like, it makes no sense. But anyway, I digress. And then yesterday, we had a very contentious game against Burnley.
Mm.
Walk me through the midweek and yesterday.
Okay, midweek.
Oh, wait, can you preface by what you said in the group chat as the fortune teller who won't give us the lottery numbers?
I said we're dropping. So number one, I said we're dropping points, and then I went, McBurney and Burton. First of all, I said one of them is gonna dunk on us, and lo and behold, Burton did. Oh, you're thinking about Coventry when I was like, we haven't given away our penalty yet, and maybe like 7 minutes later we gave away the penalty. That my problem with the United team, and I said this months ago, by the way. Like, I feel like with United, you can use a soundbite from 2 years ago, and it will be relevant now. That's my issue with them. But, like, my issue with United is that they're almost... they might be the most predictable side in the league, but not for good reasons, for bad. So, like, we know we're going to give away penalties. We know we're going to give away chances. Like, every team that plays us has between 15 and 25 shots in the game. Like, if you don't think that that's insane...
That can't be true.
It's actually that high. It's true.
Damn. Why do we let you anyway?
When we played Brentford, I think they had like 28 shots against us.
I'm pretty sure, like at one point in 2024, like you were the highest in top five leagues.
Yeah,
is in shots conceded.
They asked Ten Hag, they were like, "Do you not get concerned like with the amount of shots that you're conceding?" And he's like, "Yes, that is correct." You'll see that yes, we concede the most shots, but do we concede the most goals? No, my guy.
Well, what else is he meant to? Hold on, I'm not giving him by any means. I hope he stays for a very long time. But my thing is, what's he meant to say? What's it? Someone's badging you up about.
You should be alarmed. Why are you not alarmed?
You're having a press conference, and you're meant to be like, "Oh my days! I never realised we're gonna go back to the lab." Like, what are you?
You should be going back to the lab.
Yeah, he's obviously going to, but you can't say that.
You could come back saying, "Yeah, we know it's something that we're addressing and we're trying to work on in training." You could say something different.
Is that hard? And also, you're saying they can go back to the lab. They told him this months ago. And as I said, Burnley yesterday had 19 shots.
Like, how often has your first choice backline been?
Oh my god, that is not the thing. Is this that's the bullshit excuse he brings us as well? Yeah, but let me tell you why that concept actually doesn't make sense. If your centre backs are injured, which obviously it's not ideal, but in terms of shots faced, it's not about your centre backs. It's about the entry passes between midfield into the final third for the other team. So that means the biggest problem is actually midfield, by the way. Like, the biggest problem is the gap between the defensive line and the midfield. Yeah, and the midfield.
And the what's the DM doing?
The midfield, especially. By the way, for most of the season, he's had his ideal midfield, by the way. Don't actually be deceived.
Mount's not been fit.
That's not his ideal. You're not even on the, that Mount, yeah, was not going to be in the. This is why I said at the time the signing didn't make sense. If he would have chosen his best three, yeah, because you remember in preseason it was Kobe Mann who started. He started all the games, yeah. He even said Kobe Mann was supposed to start game number one of this season. So if Kobe Mann was supposed to start game number one and Casemiro was supposed to start game number one, do you think Mount was going to play ahead of Bruno? Let's actually use our brains here. He wasn't. Mount was never in the... He wasn't in the ideal starting three. He wasn't. Mount was supposed to be the rotation piece between when Kobe's starting as a six and Casemiro's resting, for example, then Mount will play where Eriksen played, yeah, last season. My issue with it all, though, is that that gap between the defensive line and midfield is not down to your centre-backs not being there. The problem is the structure, and there isn't one. And he seems to just think, he basically thinks, yeah, he's got like a get-out-of-jail-free card by saying, oh, well, this person's injured. We don't care, because they've almost been injured for so long that you've had enough time to figure out that you need a solution.
Yeah, because when Sheffield and Burnley can slice and dice free your midfield,
it doesn't,
I feel like every team that plays United, you can turn it into a basketball match.
It happens to the best of us, man.
What best? You, Chelsea, and us, we're all in the pits. So that's not the best of us. That's the worst.
It's the mid-six.
Yeah. Hey.
It happens to the best of us.
And
because,
you know,
yeah, we drew to Sheffield. You drew to Sheffield. Well, you beat Sheffield. But you drew to Burnley.
Yeah, we drew to Burnley.
Did you beat Burnley? I'm sure you did. No?
No, you drew to Burnley as well,
didn't it? So, yeah, my biggest issue is that, like, he actually knows what the problem is, but he's so hell-bent on playing this way, despite the fact that he himself has admitted that we can't play this way unless his ideal centre-backs are there. So if they're not there, why would we still be playing like this? Because his argument is that once we lose, we couldn't play the way I wanted to because those two aren't there. But you knew those two weren't. Those two haven't been there, by the way, for months. Martinez and Varane, yeah, together, which is his ideal partnership, have played two games together this season in the league. So you've spent more time without them together than the other way. So why would you still be fighting this? It doesn't make sense.
And they're both injury prone as well. So you have to have some sort of backup.
Then his backup option was Luke Shaw playing at centre back. All right, cool.
You have to have plan C though, because that's another injury prone player.
Luke Shaw was injured, yeah, for almost 4 months. He was injured for 3 months, yeah. This guy, the minute Luke Shaw came back to training, yeah, he played 390 minutes in 8 days. Mm. And on that,
and he sent Reguilon back to us.
He said on 390
even though
minutes
Malassia
in 8 days.
Also still
by that third, by
they
that
found
third,
him yet?
Yeah, they found him. He was training.
Yeah, they posted.
By the time game number three was done, they said he's finished till the end of the season. Now he's come back at the end of the season. That's what I'm saying. Like, he keeps. Ten Hag, yeah, he's not sticking by what he's... If you're going to say something, stand in what you've said. And he's not doing that. Mm. So, like, it's too much, oh, I took this person off, I didn't bring this person on because I'm trying to protect them, their fitness and all this, because they've had injuries. So, like, they asked him yesterday, why did Ahmad not start yesterday's game? Since you've been... Every time he comes on, you seem to be very happy with him and then he doesn't start. He was like, you have to remember, he was injured for a long time. Guys, Ahmad came back to the squad in December. And he's yet to make a start. Guys, can we be serious? Like, you're trying to protect... He said he's trying to protect him because he had a long injury layoff, yeah? But he came back in December. Luke Shaw came back from injury with the same layoff and was thrown into 390 minutes in 8 days. So, what's the truth? McTominay, they asked him... They said to him yesterday before the game, is McTominay fit? Because obviously McTominay went off in the commentary game and he was injured. He came on, yeah, and then he said before the game, he was like, oh, Scott came back to training. He's not going to be fit enough to play the 90, but he'll be fit enough to play either half or 30 minutes. He wanted to substitute Kobe. He wanted to substitute Kobe Manuoff and put Eriksen as the six. That in itself
is insanity, man.
It's insanity. Yeah, by the way.
Does he keep doing this to Eriksen, man? Let's
Eriksen was flagging from the 50th minute.
He's so going out sad, man.
Mason Mount was on the bench.
Ten Hag treating him.
Mason Mount was on the bench. So if you're going to put Eriksen as a six anyway, you might as well bring him. If you according to your words, McTominay is not fit like that. He's not fit to play. So why wouldn't Mount come on? Anywho, McTominay came on, got injured within 15 minutes. And now he was banging the floor like he's out long term. So I don't know what this man's long term. He seems to care for some people about, you just come back, I'm not trying to rush it. And for others, Bruno, do you know how many times Bruno has been injured in a game and he started the next game?
So do you want him?
Yeah, when I said he broke his hand, didn't it?
Yeah.
People
in our old, like, people that were associated to the club in the dressing room on the Burnley game, and they were shaking everyone's hand, and Bruno had to use his other hand because he was holding his arm like this. I was thinking, what is going on?
So do you want him gone?
I've been Ten Hag out for months.
So who do you want to replace him?
That's a story for the professionals.
I was going to say, I hate when that question comes up. I'm not a DOF, bruv.
But what is the market that's out there?
It's funny, yeah, because Bear United fans were like, no to Tuchel months ago.
That's crazy.
They were like, no. Because I think the biggest problem with Tuchel is like his league performance, yeah? But as of recent, they're so done at that. Ten Hag is so done at here, yeah, that they're just all retracting and they're like, nah, I'll take Tuchel at this point. Because I think as a base level, you know what you're getting with Tuchel, which is that tactically and structurally, you're going to be solid.
Tactically, you're going to be, he's an outstanding coach.
Like, yeah, tactically, you'll be solid. I don't want Potter. The problem with United, yeah, is that the people they're linked with are also in the pits of hell.
How is he linked to a top, like...
Because you can't fail upwards.
With Southgate. So at this point,
anybody.
Tuchel is your best option, man.
So I think from what they were saying, like, before, they were looking at Tuchel, they were looking at Potter, they were looking at Southgate, they were looking at Nagelsmann, and obviously Nagelsmann signed a new contract, so we're thinking, so that's not happening.
Flick?
Huh? Flick wasn't mentioned. You see the type of coach that Flick is. There's certain coaches that can't be at United and there's certain coaches that can. And I feel like, and it's the same with Chelsea, by the way. There's certain coaches that will do well at Chelsea and there's certain coaches that won't. It's like, yeah, if we look at someone like Simeone, Simeone can only go to one club in the Premier League and that's Chelsea.
You don't think he'll do well at United?
Simeone?
No way.
Please be serious.
Come on. His relationship with the owners alone.
Simeone at United would never work.
But he wouldn't work at Chelsea, though.
No, it would.
No, because he could... He could go in, win something and bounce.
Yeah.
Simeone
works at Chelsea, yeah, because Chelsea are the only team in the top six, yeah, that historically have done well with defensive...
Oh, I see, yeah.
Like, quote-unquote, defensive managers. Like, you guys like... Not that beggars can't be choosers, yeah, but you man's experience in terms of your CV... A lot of the success has come from typically defensive managers. It's why you look like...
It's why Chelsea fans are probably the only set of fans that will bat for Thomas Tuchel in this way.
It's even
in
like a... So there's a reason why Conte worked so well for Chelsea and didn't for Spurs. Chelsea also, I feel like, are the most adaptable in terms of a formation. There's certain managers that have been linked here, and then they were like, this doesn't make sense because United won't play three at the back. There's almost an understanding, yeah, that the manager we get will not be that type of manager. Chelsea, on the other hand, can go and get a three at the back manager. You've done it before. You've done that three. Conte did that with you lot, and you lot lapped it up. The way United is even set up, yeah, for us to go and get a manager that plays three at the back, we don't have the centre backs. We don't. I don't think Luke Shaw can play at wing back anymore.
So okay, so you don't know who you want to. You just want him gone.
I'm a act now. We think later. He needs to be gone though.
So what happens if he's there next season?
At least Rangnick can't come back because he looks like he's going to Bayern Munich.
But Rangnick, as a director of football would have been good.
He's going to Bayern to be the manager.
He is to be the manager.
Yeah, I know he is.
They should have get on their knees Tuchel to stay now.
No, yeah, but they were asking Nagelsmann to come.
Yeah,
back.
I know. Yeah. But as soon as Nagelsmann said no, then you just stick with your choice.
That's shameless.
That's so shameless.
Shame.
Yeah.
Does shame not exist?
The man's lost three games. You sacked him and then said, "Can you come back?"
They're shameless. Yeah, but I don't blame them for being shameless because Barca was shameless and Xavi's staying.
Is he staying?
Yeah, he's staying. Yeah, he's staying.
Shame don't exist anymore.
I'm going to sleep for the last couple of days.
No, but let me tell you what. I think
Barcelona again is another one where they're looking at the market and thinking slim pickings.
Yeah, but maybe we should keep what we have. Xavi is insane though, because when they first announced that he was leaving, yeah, Xavi went on the mic and went, "No manager's ever going to succeed here, by the way. Whilst this current board exists, whilst this setup exists, no manager will ever succeed here." He's like, "They can sack me. This is not about me."
I feel like after the Champions League, he says something about something. I can't remember what the quote was, but he said, "And me staying at this club." It was basically like saying, "Like I'm not staying. I'm gone at the end of the season."
He's realised now that the roles have switched. He's the captain now.
The president begs him to stay.
They're on their knees. That's the difference.
The president begs him to stay. But the manager market, pause, like man. A lot of people want to sack their manager. The manager market is slim picking.
Yeah, but
there aren't that many available.
But what I will say is I genuinely do not think, like, structurally, there are so many managers that would be better than what Ten Hag is doing now.
I'm not saying Ten Hag should stay.
So like,
but for a board to sack your manager, you need to think, what's your next option? Or you end up like Bayern Munich.
Who do you think is worse for their team? Pochettino.
I knew you were going to say that.
Or Egghead.
So let me ask you a reverse question. Uno,
hey,
yeah?
Come on.
Someone said, yeah, who would do better for... So would Ten Hag do better with Chelsea's squad than Poch would do with United squad? And I said, I think Ten Hag would do better with you lot squad.
Yeah, I agree.
Than the other way around.
I agree.
So then that means we're all under the understanding, though, that United squad is shambolic. My issue with Ten... So for that, I do give... So, like, in a normal world, I'd say the squad is shambolic, so give the manager time. That's in a normal world, yeah? But in my world, yeah... Ten Hag does not deserve time because he has used 600 million to make the squad even more ridiculous.
You think you won a trophy last season, though?
Cara Bobbins.
Be serious, man.
I'd love the Cara Bobbins right now.
Be serious. That's what I'm
energy
saying.
Drink.
Trust me, if you think Klopp is happy right now, because he's going to finish with Cara Bobbins and third. Everything, Liverpool's season right now, by the way, is mirroring exactly United's season of last. So, and
damn, man.
He's distraught.
Even Ella's fed
he's
up.
He's distraught.
Man.
So,
fighting his
Ella's so
player.
Fed up, she's actually back in Arne Slot. Like, that's how.
Yeah. But, like, do you know what I mean?
Because she went from bored to unpositive in about 3 days.
It was Amorim that was linked. So, Amorim was another one that was linked with the United role as well. He got linked with the United role. And then people were like, oh, they don't know if it will work, X, Y, Z. And then we started getting linked with, like, Jeremy Frimpong from Leverkusen. And everyone was like, what do we want with this boy? Because not that he isn't good, but he works perfectly in Bayer Leverkusen's system.
Yeah, he's a wing
back.
He's a wing
back. So unless we're going to start playing three at the back, what do you want with him?
But they can convert, because I actually think Pedro Porro is an example of someone who's traditionally a wing back and can play full back. But that requires really, really good coaching on the defensive side.
And
he's still not even there. Yeah, and he's still not even there yet.
And he ain't getting that United. No one is getting anything from United but Bun. That's the truth of it. But nothing and nonsense.
Hey, listen, Ralph said last year, he said you need to gut this thing.
And I've been saying that, but I have literally been saying this for 10 years.
But who do you think should leave? Because I think
you asked me this before. Yeah. Everyone can go but four people. I've actually been saying this.
Who's the four that stay?
Like, in terms of, like, who I would actually allow to stay and be like,
to build the squad around, yeah.
It's not even to build, but like, I wouldn't... So the four I'm going to mention, I wouldn't build the squad around them, but they'd be in the squad that I'd build.
Yeah, okay.
Do you get what I mean?
Okay, so Kobe is one.
Kobe.
Yeah.
Rashford. Bro, yeah, the Rashford one is
it goes
tricky.
Deep. It goes deep, but
because we've seen Rashford of last season.
The thing is,
you think he can bring it back?
Rashford has a level he can reach. His problem is consistency, but it also doesn't help. Do you know what this Rashford right now reminds me of? When Rooney marched into Fergie's office. No joke here. Yeah. I was like, who the fuck are we signing? No, because as for Rooney, he saw Tevez go. Then he saw them accept 80 million for Ronaldo the season, like a couple seasons after. He saw them accept 80 million. And then he saw them put 4 million towards Obertan and Bebe. So then he was like, sorry, what's going on here? Because the players that we've lost, yeah. No, because you have to think, Rashford has seen Ibrahimovic go, yeah. And I'm not saying, obviously, Ibrahimovic wasn't in his prime, but the calibre of players that he has seen with his two eyes does not make sense because no one has been replaced.
You got to miss him out.
Timo, be serious, man.
She's making good points.
Be serious, man.
Good point.
Be serious.
He was playing this two years in a row, Chelsea Player of the Year.
And then who did he replace? Because my thing, for example, is just before Ten Hag got there, literally a couple months before Ten Hag got there, we lost.
So can we go back to the four players?
Kobbie Mainoo, Rashford,
Garnacho.
He could stay.
He could stay.
Hoyland. Is that what
okay? It might be more than four then. Let's say six, because Hoyland, Luke Shaw. But you see my thing with Luke Shaw. I'm buying a left back, by the way. The problem was with United fans. Yeah, this is my main issue. United fans, they see someone like they'll see a good player that's at left back. Oh, but we don't need him. We've got Luke Shaw. What are you talking about? Luke Shaw's been out for most of this season. And you can't build your team around.
This is why Pep has dominated for so long.
It's too much
because
sense,
he has at
man,
least two of
man.
Everybody.
But also Pep is allowed to do. My only problem with that is that Pep is allowed to do that because they win so much.
Yeah,
you can't retain good players. Yeah, when they're not playing, if you ain't winning. That, because that the only
how are you going to take them down if you don't build the squad?
Huh? I'm calm with Dalot staying, but like I would still get. If I'm being honest, yeah.
She needs a new starting 11.
That's it. She needs a new starting 11.
Everybody else is a rotational player.
Even the ones that you mentioned, they're not the six.
Yeah, I mean
that's not a spine of a team. To be fair, would you keep Onana as the goalkeeper?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
I got big problems with Onana. I'm not part of the team that's like, oh, bring back De Gea. Please be serious. Everyone saw Onana's madness and decided to forget when De Gea was literally throwing the ball into our own net last season. Like, boom.
West Ham 1, Man United 0.
do you get it? Do you know how much nonsense De Gea was doing last season?
Where is he?
He's just training.
He's training recently.
I saw it.
And he was training in Altrincham.
That's where it was. Because I was like, that looked like a very low.
He hasn't sold his house, though. That's why.
Because he's there waiting.
He's just baking off right now, and I hear it. Because my thing, yeah, like, I would go and get another. I'll be real. I would go and get a starting 11.
Wow.
Like, obviously, realistically, that can't happen. But in terms of for me to feel comfortable and say, like, Arsenal
There's
fans, for example,
covers,
put their starting
basically.
Lineup out today and they were like, I'm happy with this. But for me to be like, I'm happy, for me to see a starting 11 for United and say, I'm happy with this, yeah,
There's not one position basically that's covered that you're happy with.
There's not one position that I wouldn't upgrade on. I'd upgrade on all of them.
Damn.
And I agreed on all of them.
Mr. Ratcliffe.
Kobe.
If you got your money.
Yeah, so
there.
Like Kobe. So for example, yeah, if we were to go and get 10 other players and Kobe was in the starting 11, I'd be calm. If we were to go and get 10 other players but Rashford was still in the starting 11, I'd be calm. Because, so like, I'm fine with one of them out of the six I mentioned being in the squad. But it can't be with the people that
It can't be six of them and then there's only five.
No. Because that's the whole problem. That is literally the problem. Because we've had that. We've been there, done that.
Mm.
And you lot haven't done anything. United fans are obsessed with mid. Like, I've never seen a fan base more obsessed with mid. You can have three good weeks, yeah? They'll start at a national team manager. See, put him in the squad. You lot are done out here. If these players were as good as what you think they are, yeah, would we not have won stuff? Would we not have been challenging for stuff? We're not challenging for anything. And these players that you all love are all there. So what's the truth? Something has to give.
Boy. Well, thanks for that.
Thank you, Moya, for the sermon.
These are pissing me off, man. And oh, yeah, that Burnley game. Sorry, I even forgot about them. That Burnley game, yeah. Toe-to-toe with Burnley. Penalty. Four penalties you've given away in six games. If you don't think that's insane, yeah. Like, guys, be serious. 4 in 6 games.
So Moyo's not feeling confident about the FA Cup final, I'm guessing.
That game is... God. The only chance we would have had in that game is if Chelsea would have beaten City. Be serious, Timo. We've been through this already. Chelsea United games are probably some of the most open... This season has been one of the most open games of the season.
Hmm.
You lot concede bare chances to United. United concede bare chances to you lot. And then, as I'm saying, the only chance we would have had... I'm not saying we would have definitely beaten you lot, but it would have been a chance.
Yeah, this
I literally think it would have been a
City with a week's rest if their players are back. That's a mismatch.
No, but I think City are not the same. And even the game that...
Forest game today.
Yeah, they weren't great. Yeah,
the thing is, they're not great, but they're still picking up results.
Like, Forest are structurally better than United. So you could actually name any team you want right now, saying, "Oh, but they did this."
Go to jail. How could you say that? That's
no. But to be honest, I can see what
he's talking about. The thing is, they haven't even like even I only watched the first.
Forest should have been 2-0 up in the first half.
Yeah, I only watched the first half, but they switched their system to 3 at the back, and it was actually producing.
United when we played City, yeah, didn't even have a shot in the second half. Not shot on target. We didn't have a shot.
They said Nottingham Forest first half. Like, Nottingham Forest is, I don't like to use the stat, but I think it paints a picture. The Forest's XG in that first half was the highest that City have faced all season.
Wow.
You think it's a joke?
Fair enough. Fair play to you, Forest. I mean...
They still lost, though.
I was going to say, but still lost, still in the thick of the relegation fight.
Like, we can keep saying that City are not playing to their level, but apart from Real Madrid, which technically is a loss on penalties, they're still unbeaten in, like, 20 games.
Come on, City, let's do this,
they,
man.
Like, they actually... They haven't lost in a really long time.
And not only have they not lost yet, they've only dropped 6 points in 2024.
Come on, City.
Like,
let's be real. Like,
finish the story.
City's
that last week on that when we played them, we have to open our Nyash. We have to let City roll for us, man. Build the goal difference. Head into the last
City's
game.
Remaining games, they don't drop a point. I really,
not even,
I mean,
Tottenham away.
People were looking at Liverpool though. People were looking at Liverpool's fixtures. Yeah, and were saying, remember when they were like, Liverpool have the easiest fixtures? That's what they were saying. Liverpool have the easiest fixtures left. Yeah, then they dropped points to Palace. Then they drop points to United. No, they drop points to United. Then they drop points to Palace. Then and they drop points to West Ham.
Yeah.
Us yesterday. Yeah,
and we've got them next week. We're going to Anfield next Sunday as well, boy.
They don't have their pumps anymore, so we're good, man. They don't.
Yeah, I agree, still. I agree
honestly,
with that one.
They have run out of steam.
Yeah, they've run out of steam. And I think it's really sad because regardless...
Yeah, I don't care.
Let me land.
Did you guys ever think that you would see Klopp and Salah beefing on the sidelines?
I did, you know. I had a dream about it.
Salah wanted...
Give us the lottery number!
I've got a wedding to pay for!
I had a dream about it, Mum. Because Klopp has been... I just didn't think... In fact, yes and no. I didn't think, yeah, that they'd be... Because remember there was a little tipsy-turvy with... Mane and Klopp at one point when Klopp kept hooking him instead of Salah.
Yeah.
When Mane wanted a goal. That was so like
Mane would be on a hat trick and then he'd hook Mane.
Yeah, it's just like, bro.
Yeah, but that's different.
No, but like it's the same gist now because once Klopp started benching him and Salah's thinking, even if I'm not in good form, neither are these suckers, yeah. So if we're all not in good form, you're gonna
you can only hold it for Jota, man.
You should play the one that has credit in the bank, which is Salah.
He's just looking at Klopp and saying, "I don't give a shit. You're not gonna."
Yeah, but
here.
He doesn't give a shit now because you have to think of it like this. Yeah, if they'd have won the United game, which they should have, yeah, and if they'd have beaten Palace.
And they hadn't got turned over by Atalanta, to be fair.
Yeah, I think they've had, they've had a dreadful run of results.
It's literally in the space of 3 games, they've lost the title. Because they were there as well. All three teams were there. So the problem wouldn't have been...
It's a mental collapse.
The problem is there because they lost and Salah isn't playing.
Mm.
Because it doesn't look justifiable now.
Yeah, and
like,
it's
if you're
going
to not play me, you better be winning. And if you wait, no, genuinely, and if you wait...
He's been shit as well. He's been stinking.
He has, yeah, but you have to think of what it is. If I've been shit, but I'm Salah, yeah, and this person's been shit, yeah, and he's just...
He's Nunez, yeah, it's true.
And then in the next game, you have to choose one of us. It should be me.
The state that Klopp has left that is going to leave the club.
He's in that I don't give a shit mode.
Yeah. It's very
Slot's
scary.
Got a big job, man.
It's very scary to watch because, like, yeah, you've got Liverpool fans online being like, I don't even know if we'll get fourth. Okay, calm down.
Yeah, calm down.
Be for real now.
But it's like, I think
It's not as close as what you think. They're not getting fourth.
I don't think.
This season. I thought you meant next season.
No, this season. Let's talk about finishing in the top four this season.
Oh yeah, they're finishing.
I think you'll need to relax. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes in terms of what the squad looks like. This new manager. I don't know. I think it's scary.
Cashing on like. They are probably going to cash in on Salah.
Yeah, so yeah. If they sell him to a Saudi club, they'll get at least $100 million. Yeah, but this is the problem. Like, in terms of actual...
They're going to want to sell him to Saudi. But in terms of what he can do, he shouldn't go to Saudi.
No, he shouldn't. But we're now in a position with football where the only... at the moment, everybody else in Europe is broke.
Yeah.
So the only country where you're going to get big money from your players is if one of the Saudi clubs come. If I'm like Al Nassr or whatever those are, I'm putting in a bid for Virgil van Dijk as well. Mate, you forced the clubs, forced them to make a decision.
He's only got a year left.
Liverpool, I'm sure you're thinking it was great while it lasted, but you may be going back into the wilderness for a little bit, and that's unfortunate.
Come join us, man.
Please, I'm not trying to stay in that wilderness. I've had enough. 10 years.
You don't like being in the mid-six, babes?
10 years. I can't live like this.
We finished second on the
we finished second on the almost all of them.
So you haven't been in all in this.
That's why I'm coming for Ange, man. We're still not in this.
We finished second on the Jose. We finished second on the Ole.
That's true. We're not in this.
But I can't do this.
So, okay, ladies, we're going to wrap up in a minute, but I just want to basically get an understanding. I know it's been so nice, but I just want to get an understanding of who we think. I think we say this every week, but who we think is going to win the league, and also who gets what European competition. Because there's a lot of movement. Okay. There's a lot of people who've got games in hand. And
is it five and six that gets Europa? Or just five?
Five and six get Europa. And then seven gets Conference.
Oh, this is easy.
Can I see the...
Wait, who won the Carabao though? Liverpool.
So if United win the FA Cup, for example, we ain't. But if we win the FA Cup, then we get Europa. Regardless of where we finish.
Yes.
Okay. But even if you lose it, will you get Europa? Because City will finish in the top, or will it go to the league?
League.
So there'll be extra league places because Liverpool are going to finish in the top four, so they won't take that Carabao place.
I mean
they won't take the Europa.
I don't think they do.
I don't think. Me and my brother were talking about this week. I don't think there's any extra spots this year.
No.
Yeah, there isn't because they're giving the extra spot to what's it called?
The winner of the conference.
Serie A,
that's it.
Not the Champions League one. But winning the domestic cups no longer gives you a spot.
They do that when the coefficient is on our side. The coefficient is not on our side right now.
Even when they're expanding the format and there are extra teams.
That's the spot they're using to give to...
It's not the same this year.
You have to win it. Final was not enough.
So I think there's only three spaces for Europe for 5th, 6th and 7th.
Yeah.
Damn.
I think the league table would be like this. Man City will win the league on the last day of the season.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Arsenal will be second. Liverpool will be third. I think Aston Villa will just pip Tottenham to fourth. Mm-hmm. Tottenham
That's
fifth.
That's fine, because that means in that we will have lost to City, so I'm happy with that.
Tottenham fifth. I'm going to go Manchester United sixth and Newcastle seventh.
Okay. It's pretty much how it is.
I'm gonna flip that and go Newcastle 6th, United 7th.
I did think about that, but...
How many games in hand have Newcastle got?
On United?
Yeah.
None.
They're
only a point behind, but they're I can't see.
United are still going to drop points to Arsenal. For sure.
Mm.
And probably someone else knowing them.
Newcastle's next match is Burnley.
They win.
Boy.
Who else?
Yeah, maybe.
All I know is that Burnley. You will probably leapfrog.
Oh, you guys play each other.
I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Yeah, we play Newcastle, but where is it?
You will, you're only a point behind us, and you've got a far superior goal difference.
It doesn't matter. But Chelsea.
Is it the final game of the season?
We're too inconsistent.
No, they've got Brentford.
And we got you this weekend.
That's the only game where they may.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to go the way you think it is.
Brighton,
I think you're going to win that game.
No,
I think
I don't trust this manager.
I think Arsenal win the league.
Boo!
Can you touch wood, man? Don't speak that into existence.
Yeah. I think Arsenal win the league.
I'm scared
because
she's a Oracle.
I think City finished second. I think Liverpool finished
third.
Cut
the mic.
I think Villa finish fourth. Spurs finish fifth.
How many points is it between Villa and Spurs?
It's seven, but we've got
two games in hand, so it'll be one if Spurs win there too.
Do you know what?
And you know the two are Chelsea and City, so I said, I think
never
it's
mind.
Fifth.
I was actually
that will make sense with what I'm saying because I'm saying Arsenal are going to win the league.
No, but we're not going to beat City.
That's what you think.
Hey.
I
think it's going to be a draw.
I think it's going to be very tight between you and Villa for that fourth space. I just because Villa is still in Conference League. And
I need the robot, the spirit of the robot. I need Kevin De Bruyne. I need Phil. All of them, turn the fuck up.
I think what's funny is, I actually think... So, yeah, sorry. I think that Newcastle finished sixth. Yeah. And I actually don't think United even finished seventh. I think we're going to finish eighth.
No, you're going to finish seventh.
I think Chelsea finished...
You think
seventh.
Chelsea are going to amalgamate that much points? Because with that gap.
You have two... Chelsea have two games in hand and we're only six. United are only six.
One of them is Tottenham.
Oh, no. Oh, wait, hold on.
It's one game in hand over
United. It's one. Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. I changed my mind. You're finishing.
Yeah.
I think United finished seventh, though.
You think United finished seventh? Probably. Yeah. I think Chelsea finish eighth.
I think United finish seventh. And you know what?
Yeah, Conference I think Chelsea League... finish above West Ham. I just don't think you're going to get...
We're not. And that's... And I've accepted it.
You're about to see something special.
Pardon? No, listen. When I went into the London Stadium and I stood where I shouldn't have been standing and I watched that goal go in against Bayer Leverkusen, I said, don't let the hope kill you because it's going to ruin you right now. And there was a couple of shots where I was just like, if that had gone in and it had gone to 2-0, it would have started to consume me. But I was like, you know what? No. And then we went and followed that up with a pathetic laying down at Palace. I said, you know what? Nice season.
Palace have been looking good, though.
Palace have been looking good. But that's what happens when you're a club that's not at the top. But you invest in a manager because you have... potential and you want to actually go and do something and be ambitious rather than doing better the devil with
isn't
somebody
who
can't move.
This is why I feel with that's what I'm saying, that United still have a lot of points to drop. United still have to play Palace. Those sorts of teams are United's worst nightmare. Yeah.
But I do feel like, I know, I think Eze didn't play, but Palace's upturn in form is dependent on whether Elisa and Eze are fit and firing on the pitch. They still need, they are playing better football, but they still need those two to carry them.
Do you reckon they stay? Do you reckon they go at the end of the season? They've both gone.
I think one
of them goes for sure.
Elisa is gone.
I think it depends on the price tag.
Because they're saying Eze 50 mil. I don't think 50 million is that bad.
No,
I
saw an article saying that they said minimum 60 each, minimum to even entertain the conversation.
Shut up, man. Teams at Palace are
and if they don't have FFP issues, they can maintain and hold that price, man. Because they both signed new contracts recently.
Yeah, I don't know what... Yeah, but apparently Elise signed a new contract and there's a release clause in that contract. Because you know before his release clause was 35 million.
He's going to Chelsea. So,
But the release clause means...
Yeah,
he was. The release clause... If you say I'm triggering the release clause, that means you have to pay that entire fee up front. Who can afford to pay that entire fee, not in instalments?
United.
Have you not got FFP issues?
No.
You will run yourself into if you're doing release clause.
Yeah, we do because we do and we don't. Like, I think, the money's not going to really come into effect until the season after, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like everyone...
We have money, because we made the most revenue.
Based on everyone doing all of those accounts and posting it on Twitter, it seemed like you lot were in a okay place. You're always in debt, but it's sustainable debt for you.
Listen, for Man United, went to go and give 80 million to Leicester up front for Harry Maguire. I said, these people are so done out here that I've genuinely, incompetence at its finest is United as a whole. 80 million up front when you could literally pay it in installments. Like, there was actually nothing stopping you from paying it in installments.
Exactly. Why did it's not they like do anybody, that? Not, no one else came in.
If you saw the way Leicester slapped it on their financial plan.
Yeah, but that was one of their pathetic bids, they did for Declan Rice.
They just
love to chuck something in there.
That's like when. Do you remember when Arsenal here? I can't remember when it was. It was when that year that Monaco were really good, And then on the last day of the transfer window, they slapped on a bid for 75 million for Thomas Lamar. Where is Thomas Lamar right now?
Is he at Atletico?
Is he still there?
Oh my god, yeah.
Is he still there? I don't know.
Well, based on that, I'm guessing nobody's going to be watching the Champions League games this week.
I'm excited for Bayern.
I'm so happy there's no English teams in it.
I'm especially happy that City, because if City would have still been in it,
beautiful.
If City was still in the competition, they would have won it, by the way.
Yeah, back to
back. Because their problem was the Real Madrid aura thing. These other clubs, I'm not saying they don't have any aura, but it's manageable aura.
Yeah.
Madrid's PSG final, I think.
Yeah, and can you... I can't wait. I want that final just to see what Mbappe will do.
lay down.
No.
He's gonna want to win it.
He's gonna want to leave Paris with like a real big F-U.
And he's the face of France.
He's gonna want to. He's gonna want to show that you lot are getting a Champions League winner. By the way, like.
Put some respect on my That's
gonna add like 200k minimum.
He's gonna say renegotiate.
Yeah, what the hell? Bring the contract.
And if France win the Euros as well,
damn.
I thought it's coming home.
Why are you looking at me for?
Who said that? It could still.
Before we start,
Anissa said. And I think it was Anissa who said that it's coming home.
Oh yeah, she's Southgate in.
Woo, good for Nia.
Well, on that note, I don't think anyone is Southgate in here. We'll wrap it up. Thank you for watching, listening. Remember to follow us at Gold Diggers UK on Twitter and TikTok, and at Gold Diggers UK
and LinkedIn.
I was going to do the social media first.
Enough about evils.
Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram, mm-hmm. and give us a follow at Gold Diggers UK on LinkedIn. Brand, spell me.
And subscribe on YouTube at Gold Diggers UK.
Of course.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.